We are grateful for the music. Just sort of connects with our hearts and connects us together and connects us to God. And it just does it every week around here. Today I want to begin a little sermon series on how Jesus meets us at the different stages of our lives. How Jesus meets us where we are at life, in life. And today I want to look at Jesus and children. And I want to read a few passages from Luke. And we are so fortunate. They are beautifully illustrated for us today. Josie Harvey made this picture. And it's a picture of what we're going to read. And our brother Wesley made another picture over here of stories of Jesus. And we're going to put that right here to help us see. There are two stories in Luke, about at least two, about Jesus and children. The first is from the 9th chapter. It begins with verse 46. The disciples are there with Jesus. An argument arose among them, the disciples, as to which one of them was the greatest. But Jesus, aware of their inner thoughts, took a little child and put it by his side and said to them, "Whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For the least among all of you is the greatest." And then in the 18th chapter, verse 15 through 17, the disciples are sort of the heavies again in this story. People were bringing even infants to Jesus that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and loving Lord, open our hearts and our spirits to the word you would have us hear today. And hearing it may be changed, and being changed, may we serve you with joy in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. The Gospels go out of their way to show us that Jesus was well loved as a child. There are all these wonderful stories about how Jesus was loved as a child. It begins with the story of Mary, his mother, swaddling him. Somebody had to teach me how to make the sort of little burrito wrap where you put the baby in and bring the blanket over and bring it up and tuck it up. Swaddling to make the child feel secure and safe and warm and held. And so the story begins with that little touch of Mary doing that. And then it moves on, and you've got these roughneck sheep herders who show up stinky out of the fields. They show up and they adore the baby Jesus. And then you read some more, and it's these elegant, well-dressed, well-educated, the smartest men of the age from other countries, these wise men. And they show up And they adore this child. And they bring the gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. His mother, the shepherds, the wise men. Then they take the baby Jesus up to the temple to dedicate him for the circumcision. And there's this old man there. Name is Simeon. And he wants to hold the baby. And they put the baby in his arms, the baby Jesus. And he says, God, I'm ready to go now. Because I've seen this wonderful thing you did here. This child is just adored. And then it moves on to Anna, this old woman up at the temple. And she sees the baby, and she begins to just tell everybody she sees and about what God has done. And she praises God and tells everybody. And if his mother Mary snuggled him, later in the story, his father Joseph has to smuggle him out of Bethlehem because this all of a sudden this wicked King Herod begins to show up, and Joseph protects him and gets the mother and the baby out into safety. So you've got just on the opening pages of Matthew and Luke, you've got all these adults adoring, loving, caring for this little baby, this child. Jesus is well loved by adults. And even if we should miss all that, when you get to his baptism as a young man, he's baptized and he comes up from the water and this voice comes from heaven and it says, "This is my beloved, my son, in whom I am well pleased." There is no doubt that Jesus is loved. It's just all over the beginning of the story. He knew early on that he was special. He knew early on that he was God's own dear child. When you get to the temptation of Jesus, he's a young man about to start his work. And he's tempted in the wilderness. And the devil comes to him, and the temptation, really, he tempts him to think he's not a dear child of God, because he begins the temptation by saying, "If you are the Son of God." You know, he tries to plant a doubt that Jesus really is this beloved child of God. If you're the Son of God, if. But Jesus resists that temptation. You see, he has been taught from the beginning, from the time he was in the cradle, a babe in arms, being raised in this loving Jewish home. He learns that he belongs to God, that he is God's own dear child, and that is the deepest fact of his existence. That is the deepest truth of his life, that he is beloved. And so, Jesus grows up. And he begins to travel around and he begins to teach. And these families come to hear him and they bring their little children to him. They bring their children for him to bless. And some of his disciples, some of the grown-ups who were sort of doing crowd control there, they see these kids. And they think they're a distraction from Jesus' real work. They see these whiny brats is what they see, sticky-handed, runny-nosed, disruptions, interruptions from his real work. But Jesus will have none of that. Jesus, interesting in the story, he's not married. He's not a father. But he loves these children. Because you see, he was once a child. He was a well-loved child. And so he just simply makes room for these children. He takes them seriously. He makes room for them. He brings them to the head of the line. He teaches them that they are loved and welcomed. Just what he learned. I reread the other day that you and I, every one of us, are the result of one of 8.4 million possible combinations of the genetic material of our mother and our fathers. The genetic material from our parents could be combined in 8.4 million different ways. Just from our two parents. 8.4 million possibilities. What that means, genetics is teaching us, and mathematics, the people that figured that out, is that every one of us is a unique, unrepeatable miracle, a one-of-a-kind treasure. Jesus knew that. And so he welcomed everybody who would welcome him, especially the children, so that they will know early on they are a treasure to God. I think maybe the best thing Jesus does for these children is he teaches them that they're beloved. And you know, we've got to learn that somewhere along the way. If we're gonna get through this life whole, if we miss it, it's hard. If we miss out on knowing that truth, that we're beloved, life is tough. If you're going to go through life well, you got to go through with a certain level of positive feelings about yourself. So many people we know are down on themselves. They don't like themselves. What they see when they think about themselves are their mistakes, or their failures, or their flaws, the parts of them they don't like. Now we have flaws, and we have made mistakes, and we have failures. But this fundamental sense that we're worthy. You know, we live in a time when if your clock radio by the side of your bed breaks, people don't fix those anymore. You don't take those to be fixed. You throw them out, you get another one. Your CD player or your video player, it breaks. You don't fix those. You just toss them out. You go get another one. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to teach us we are worth fixing. Yes, there are things that are not as they should be, but we are worth fixing. We are worth the trouble to be made right. And of course, that's why Jesus came in order to teach us that and to show us that and to help transform us. Every time we baptize somebody, however we do it, we Methodists do it with a little bit of water or a lot of water. We believe it's not the volume of water that matters. It's about the volume of God's love. And we remember that when Jesus was baptized, this word from heaven came and it said, "This is my beloved, my son, in whom I am well pleased." And we believe that's what every one of our baptisms mean. When we are baptized, we are marked, we're stamped, we're sealed that this is a beloved child. I think it probably takes us a full lifetime to understand all that means, to accept that, to live with that, to rejoice in that, to grow in that. It takes a lifetime to live into our baptism. And that's why most of the churches I know anything about, and certainly this one, are knocking themselves out to embrace children and welcome children and encourage children. I love the story that Tony Campolo, I think he told it first. He's a preacher, and he told about this friend of his who had a four-year-old daughter. And he said there was a thunderstorm going on. And daughter had gone to bed. The thunderstorm came up. The lightning was flashing. So a lot of noise, rumbling. So Dad said she might be a little scared. So he goes up to the room to see Jenny. And he finds her out of bed, the curtains open, and her just leaning against the window while the lightning flashes. He said, "Jenny, what are you doing?" And she says, "I think God is trying to take my picture." And Campolo said, now there is a kid who has gotten it. She knows how special she is in the eyes of God. God wants to take her picture. That's what's going on. And that's what we want to happen. That every child we can help to experience this, what Jesus wanted them to know. That's part of what we do. That's part of what we do, whether we have children of our own or, we do it with other kids through the church and the neighborhood organization. That's what we're doing. There's another thing, though, Jesus does for children. I love that story from John's Gospel. It's the 6th chapter. And that's the one where Jesus is out by the Sea of Galilee. They're out in a deserted place. He's preaching. There's all these people. Big crowd followed him. The people are getting hungry. Who didn't come out that day was Captain D or the Colonel Sanders or the Burger King or Sister Schubert or Slim Jim. None of them were out there, and everybody's getting hungry. And there's nothing to eat. But there's this little boy with a sack lunch, and he's got a few little pita breads and a couple of fish sticks. And Jesus asked him, would you share your lunch? And he does. And all are fed. If the first thing we need to learn from Jesus as children is that we are beloved, that we are special, we are one of a kind, we are a unique miracle. Before long, we need to learn that not only are we blessed, but we get to be a blessing. That we get to learn to bless others. I think Jesus wants children to know that too, that they can share. All the teaching our preschool teachers begin to do, to teach them to share. I don't know when you can begin to learn that. Maybe 3? I don't know, Miss Sherry, when you can start it. But to begin, it's not just for order and fairness. It's so that children can begin to experience the satisfaction and the joy that comes from giving and sharing. And eventually to figure out that is even the better stuff than receiving. We don't know the name of that little boy in that story who shared his lunch. But don't you know that for the rest of his life, that story was told? Don't you know that if he got married at his wedding, when they were having the wedding party and they were making toasts, somebody would have probably told the woman he's marrying, you need to know that our friend was the one who shared his lunch with Jesus in it, and it fed the multitudes. And don't you know that if he went on to have children, he would have told them that story. And don't you know at his funeral, somebody would have told that story. About how he was part of something bigger than themselves, something that had this eternal significance. Well, Jesus teaches our children to share, to take turns, to be kind to others. And he does that to set them up for a life of great fulfillment. Because none of our lives will be complete until we learn how to do that. And that's another thing that takes us a whole life. Well, there's one more thing about Jesus and our children. He not only said we should teach them, he said we should let them teach us. He said, in some ways they are a step ahead of us. He said, unless you get the kingdom of God like a child, you may not get it. We adults, we intellectualize the faith. And we want to have to control things and understand all things, but Jesus said sometimes it's just easier for children. It's more immediate. I'm going to invite Selena Wright to come. Selena is our director of our children's ministry. When Selena began to help around here, she said something early on that just I thought was wonderful. She said, sometimes we say children are the future of our church. She said, no, it's not that. She said, they are the church right now. Right now. Would you share with us?
I have a story to share today about what I learned from a child long ago. I was very fortunate to grow up going to Camp Smetonga. Started out as a camper, worked as a counselor for 5 years, and then on into program directing and directing. And this was my 17th summer to go as a leader at camp. And it's something that it's a special place for me, and I was very blessed to be able to share that with the kids of this church this summer. My last year that I served as a counselor was in 1999, and I was in college, and I thought I knew everything. I did know everything. And I was ready for a great week. I knew that I was winding up my college time, and I didn't know if it would be my last summer to be able to work at camp, if I would be able to continue that or not. And I get to camp, and I'm paired up with one of my friends that I've had for a long time. We went to school together, and I knew him. I was actually closer to his sister. He was a few years younger than me, but we were paired up as counselors that week, and I thought, this is going to be a great week. When we get to camp, we do it for counselor training. We get a packet of information with all of our kids' information on it. We found out that we were going to have 10 kids. We were going to have 4 boys and 6 girls that week. And I just knew, I was like, this is going to be the week. This is going to be the greatest week. And so we get the packet, and I'm looking, and I realize that 4 of our girls have come from the same church. They've grown up together. They are best friends. Their parents are friends. 2 of the girls are actually next-door neighbors, so they've known each other their whole lives. The other 2 girls had just come to camp. Their parents had just sent them to camp. They didn't know anybody else. They didn't have a roommate request. So the camp coordinator put them in the room together. And so I had 4 girls, and at elementary camp, we stay in the lodge. So if you've ever been to Simatonga, you know the lodge layout, and there's 4 bunk beds in each room. So 4 girls that came together were across the hall, and I was in the room with the 2 girls who didn't know anybody. And as camp goes, we met that morning, got our kids. This was when the kids still came on Monday mornings. We got our kids, and I introduced myself to the parents as they were coming in, and this one little girl, her name was Amanda. I had noticed on her form the day before that it just said on there, it was her foster parents, that she had had a hard life, and that, you know, her foster parents were sure that this was going to be a good thing for her, but she might be quiet, she might be timid, she might not talk very much, but just that she was going to have fun, that they just knew she was going to have fun. So when they got there that morning, I introduced myself to them, and her foster mom took me aside and kind of gave me a little background on this child, and said that she had never known her real father, and her mother was just not able to take care of her. So at a young age, she was put into the custody of her grandmother. And about a year before she came to camp, her grandmother passed away, and she had been placed with this foster family. And now this foster family was in the process of adopting her. And she and her husband, both the foster parents, had both grown up going to camp, and so they wanted her to experience the love that camp can bring a child, the experience that can bring. And so they sent her, and she told me, she said, she's going to have a great time. I just know she's going to have fun. She may not act like it. So I thought, okay, this is going to be a tough week. This little girl has been through more in one lifetime than in 10 years than some of us in a lifetime experience. And so I was real kind of walking on eggshells the whole first part of the week getting to know her. And she was a sweetheart, sweet little girl, had the biggest heart in the world, got along great with the other 5 girls. And by Wednesday, we were into the groove. We had gotten things going. And the way camp works is you're with your family group all during the day, but at night the boys go to their rooms, of course, and the girls go to theirs. And right between shower time and cabin and lights out, we have what we call cabin prayer time. And cabin prayer time is always a special time because I get to hear what the girls have learned and what they've gotten from the day and what they've experienced. And so we were sitting on the bunk beds, and I had them all come in my room, and there were 3 girls on one bed and 4 girls on the other, and I'm sitting in the middle. And here I am, and the week's theme has been celebrate God's love. So the question comes up. I ask, how do you know God loves you? And so I start over here on this side of the room, and the first little girl, she says, I know God loves me because my parents are the greatest parents in the whole world. I love them and they love me and you know, they give me what I want and we don't fight like some of my friends' parents and I, you know, they fight and we have a good relationship. So I sit there and kind of take a break and I'm looking over at Amanda thinking, okay, what is she thinking? You know, she's never had that experience to have parents. And so I go to the second little girl, I ask, and she says, well, I have the greatest friends, and I love my school, and I just made cheerleader for the Pee Wee football team, and I'm going to be a cheerleader this year. So it's typical fourth, fifth grade girl's answers. I go to the third little girl, and the third little girl, she says, well, I have lots of fun stuff. I just got a new CD player before camp, and my mom told me that when we get home from camp, I'm going shopping and buying all new school clothes, and I just have everything that I need. Like I said, typical fourth and fifth grade girl answer. So I get to Amanda, it's her turn, and I'm thinking, what in the world? What have I taught her this week about God's love? What have I given her to know that God loves her regardless of everything that she's gone through? And she just looks at all of us and says, I know God loves me because my grandmother told me he did. And she told me that if I believed in Jesus as my Savior, that I would be in heaven with her one day and that everything was going to be okay. I didn't teach her a thing. She taught me more that week than I think I've taught in 17 years at camp. That it's just that simple. We don't have to have all these theories and everything else that goes along with being difficult and putting pieces together. It's just that simple that Jesus loves us. And she taught everybody in the room that night that simple, simplistic answer was that Jesus loves us and he is ours. So, thanks.
Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child just might never enter it. Thanks be to God for the way we have been blessed to be his people and the way we get to bless. Amen. I invite you to join in the ancient words of the Apostles' Creed. You'll find them there in the order. Would you stand as we say what we believe? Let us say together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. People of God, children of the Heavenly Father, you who are beloved by God, go into the world in peace, love the Lord, serve Him. And show others that they are also God's beloved children. Go in the name of the one who loves us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen.